If you're in Mark chapter 1, let me draw your attention down to verse number 34. Let's start there. Just to read a couple verses as we begin this morning. So Mark chapter 1, verse 34, it says, He, of course this is the Lord, He healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew Him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And we can stop at that point. And just a moment, we'll have a word of prayer. We've introduced the theme this year of following Jesus. And as we follow Jesus through the scriptures, of course, we many, many times find a scene similar to this one where his disciples are also following. Verse 36 says, you know, Simon and they that were with him followed after him. But they were, of course, in that context, they were following, looking for him because he had gone to a solitary place to pray. And that's a scene you find often when you follow Jesus through the scripture. You find him, and we're going to look at many of these today, at least some of them, where he, if you will, slips away, or you know, he goes alone to have a time of prayer. And so one of the things, as we talked about even last week, that what it means to follow Jesus, really, at the heart of it is that we would be like Jesus, right? In following him, we want to be like him. We want to do what Jesus would do. And certainly, he was a man of prayer. And we want to follow him in that area as well, as the area of prayer. Just an interesting little story I found to get us started. I read that a tavern was being built in a town. I don't know where this was, but the town had previously been a dry city or county, a place where alcohol was not served. But they were building a tavern, and the story says that a group of a certain church opposed this and began an all-night prayer meeting, asking God to intervene. And lightning struck the tavern building, and it burned to the ground. The owner brought a lawsuit against the church, claiming they were responsible. The Christians hired a lawyer and claimed that they were not responsible. The judge said, no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not. The Lord certainly believed in prayer, and I hope we do as well. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Our Father, we come before you humbly because, Lord, as we approach the subject of prayer, I know for myself it's something that, Lord, I feel the need to grow in this area. And I, Lord, confess that we don't pray as much as we should. And Lord, we want to pray more. We want to be effective in our praying. And we desire that you would help us to learn and grow and strengthen our faith. And Lord, give us grace to be able to pray. Truly, we need prayer. We recognize that, and our world needs prayer. But God, would you help us to be the ones that consistently and Lord, faithfully come before your throne. You've invited us to come, and we want to take you up on that invitation. May you bless the message to our hearts as you would desire to see it used, and we'll give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I say, when you follow the Lord in the Scripture, you recognize right away that the Lord did certainly believe in prayer. And he evokes in his disciples a desire to pray. And I put down an outline. I know already I'm only going to get to point one today. So I'll tell you what I wrote down originally. I wrote down, he provoked his, or evoked, or he moved his disciples to prayer by his practice. That's the thing we're going to look at today. By his preaching, he did preach on, he taught on prayer in many cases, and we'll read some of those scriptures also. And then by his promises. The Lord gives us many promises about prayer, that God will hear and answer prayer. And so the Lord really, you know, encourages us in so many ways, invites us and you know, gives us these promises to encourage us to pray. And he said that all men ought to pray and not to faint. And sadly, despite all of what we find in the scriptures to encourage us to pray, I don't want to say that we don't pray, but I do think that it's something we can certainly do better this year. I hope we will. I hope I do. And I pray that all of us will follow the Lord in this matter of prayer. Now, when it comes to his practice, you see here in the scripture a scene that I think is a common scene. If you notice, you know, in the morning, verse 35, Jesus rises up early. Well, before it was day, before daylight. And he departs into a solitary place to pray. You know, let me just say, sometimes we may want to get in the habit of just say, well, I don't really have a time of prayer or a set place to pray. I don't go and get on my knees somewhere. But I do, you know, practice the presence of God. I commune with the Lord on a, you know, as I go throughout my day. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing, and many preachers have described this what they call an attitude of prayer. That, you know, it doesn't mean that you are, you know, without ceasing, always on your knees, always closing your eyes when you're driving or doing your job or something. You need to have your eyes open, right? But you can be in communion with God at all times. And I do often pray while I'm driving. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, the situation might call for it. I was thinking about the time I did go off the road in the winter and over the bank and wrecked my car. But as my car was sliding, it just naturally came out of my lips in kind of a loud voice, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me," as I was, you know, doing this down the highway. But we can pray, and thankfully we can pray at all times. But there ought to be in our life a consistent time of getting alone in a solitary place. You know, the Lord talks about a prayer closet, a place where you meet with the Lord. And when I say a place, it doesn't have to be the same place every day. It doesn't, you know, but it needs to be. I'm just saying there should be times in our day where we come aside and we come before the Lord and we spend some time in prayer. Now, in this scene where we are in Mark chapter 1, as it's so often the case, the Lord, you know, I read verse 34, which maybe seemed a little disconnected because we jumped in there at the end of what he was talking about. But we see there that he healed many that were sick, and he cast out many devils. What I just want to say about that is that the Lord was always busy. There was no lack of activity going on. There was always the pressure. When the Lord, we talked about earlier as we began this series on following the Lord, that great crowds followed Jesus. You know, once he began his public ministry, it seemed like very quickly crowds began to form. And when you follow Jesus around, there's always crowds following him around. And we saw that he healed them. And so, you know, they were following him, as we said before, the crowds followed, not necessarily because they saw that he was the Messiah, not necessarily were they believers in that sense, but they wanted to see the healings. They needed healing, and many of them would bring their sick, and because this man could heal them, you know, they were beginning to come out of the woodwork, if you will. I'm reminded of a story of a missionary who had a medical doctor attend him on one trip that he took into a place, it was a remote place, where there was no doctors. And they had not, a doctor had never visited their area, at least for a very long time. And so when they learned that this man was a doctor, they lined up from morning to night, day after day, bringing, because people there had many injuries and infirmities and sicknesses and so on, and had never been treated. And so when there was a doctor available, they came in mass. And it was that way with the Lord. You really don't get a sense of the size of the crowd until he feeds them. And then we're told that there were 5,000 plus. In one occasion, 4,000 or more in another occasion. And so these were large crowds. And when it says there that the Lord rose up early, before day, before it was dawn, and kind of sneaks away, what was the reason for that? Well, there's a couple reasons for sure. One is because of time. You know, the fact that, as I say, the people would come and press on him, probably from morning till night, always bringing more and demanding help and needing his assistance and, you know, needing healing and all these things. And so there was that demand upon his time. And so he had to rise early. And he had to sneak off because he didn't want to be seen, I think. You know, before it was day, he had to move to a solitary place because in the daylight, everywhere he moved, you know, as he passed by, somebody would certainly interrupt him. And so in order to be uninterrupted, in order to have the time, he rose up early. You get the sense before his disciples were awake. And he went off into a solitary place, because he knew he needed to pray. Now this is the example of the Lord. If there's an enemy of our concerted time of praying, especially in the morning, it's probably the enemy of the pressure of time and demands upon our life, right? Isn't that the thing that so often, you know, causes us to hurry our prayer or maybe skip our time of prayer? Because we feel that demand of pressure, of time, just the daily things that, you know, our lists are long and all of those things, there's that pressure upon us. We all sense that. We all feel it. That you know, the demands of the day, and we say to ourselves, maybe not out loud, maybe not even maybe subconsciously, I don't have the time to go alone somewhere and really spend significant amount or, you know, a time worth taking the time of prayer. And because of the demands, and yet Jesus saw something that I think we need to understand is this. It's the very demands of the day that demands that we pray. Do you follow that? Because of those demands, if we're going to meet them, if we're going to be able to carry the load, if we're going to be able to do what we need to do, we need God's help. And so it's those very demands that says to us, if we're thinking about it, I don't have time not to pray. I think it was Martin Luther who famously said, I have so much to do today that I need to spend at least 2 hours in prayer. Now that's counterintuitive to our human minds. You know, we think we got so much to do, we don't have time to spend 2 hours in prayer. But you know, we have to understand as we look at the life of the Lord, we realize and we know this, that Jesus is God, right? And that's very true. No question about that. And yet, in his incarnation, he became a man and he operated as a man. Which is to say that, you know, Jesus said things like this when he was on the earth. He said, the words that I speak are not my words, but they're the words the Father has given me. This message is not mine, it's the Father's. And then he said things like, the works that I do are not mine. In other words, he's kind of indicating to us that when he was a man in his humility upon the earth, yes, he never ceased to be God, he was always God. He could be nothing but God, and yet he became man, And in as a man, he operated in the strength and the wisdom of the Father and the Holy Spirit. You understand that, right? I know it's kind of a little bit hard for our finite brains to parse all that out, but we know it's true. And so he felt the need for prayer. Jesus felt the need for prayer. And it goes kind of without saying, if he felt the need for prayer, well, wow, how much more we need to, right? So when we see him here, he's very busy. And I like to put myself in these stories in my mind to kind of think if I was there. And, you know, when it says Simon and they that were with him, the other disciples, they followed after him. And when they had found him, so basically they went looking for him. And then they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So in my mind, I picture it this way, that maybe it was, maybe it's not quite, but I picture Jesus, you know, waking up before everybody else, it's still dark, and he sneaks off to pray. And then daylight comes, and it's not long, and the people start coming to the disciples. You know, hey, oh, morning, hey, where's Jesus? We need some help. And they're like, where did he go? You know? And after a couple of times this happening, it wasn't long, I think they figured out, well, we know where he is. He's out there in the woods somewhere praying. Because that's what he does. But first they might have thought, you know, the first day, I wonder if they thought, well, is he at a neighboring camp having breakfast? Is he, over at the community coffee pot sharing stories? Where is he? But that's not where he was. He was off alone in prayer. And so the disciples learned this about the Lord. They learned, hey, this is what he does. In the morning, he's off before we are. And he's not seeking, you know, he's not down at Tim Hortons. He's gone to pray. And so they begin to know where to look. Some place where there isn't a lot of people around. Some place where he can be alone with his Father. The demands of the day demand that we pray. Let me have you turn to chapter 6 in Mark. Chapter 6 and verse 45. As we continue to follow our Savior, we read in verse 45, it says, Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side, before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. Now here again, there was a lot of people, a crowd around. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. Here we see the Lord at the end of the day. The first time we saw in the morning, early before it was daylight, he goes off to pray. Now it's evening. Again, there's been a big crowd. Matter of fact, just to give you a sense of the scene here, it's sort of the same timing we've been looking at in Matthew chapter 8, 9, 10 earlier this month. But look up at chapter 7. We read there that he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save stuff. A staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, and so on. You remember that? If you were here last week, the week before, we read the same thing in Matthew's gospel, where he had chose the 12 disciples. And by the way, before he did that, he prayed all night. He chose the 12 disciples, and he commissioned them, and he sent them out, and so on. And then we read the later in the chapter, they come back. They come back at verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they've just come off the end of this evangelistic tour, if you will, this mission journey that they had gone on. I don't know how long it lasted, how far abroad they went, but they had come back. And they were no doubt tired. You know, they'd been off, and this was not a pleasure trip. They didn't take provisions. They didn't make reservations. They just went. And they went to minister. And when they were ministering, they were preaching the gospel. They were healing sick people and all these things. And I'm sure that it expended a lot of their energy. It was a drain upon them. So much that when they come back and they describe to Jesus what they had done, look at verse 31. It says, "And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while." Rest a while. "For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Which is to say they were, barely could find time to grab a sandwich. It was just busy. And so he says, let's go into the desert and find a place to rest for a little while. Well, the only problem was the people saw where they went. And they really got no rest. Because if you read on in the chapter, verse 33, "The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them." They just kept up with them, and even some got ahead of them. And verse 34, "Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, he was moved." The Lord was always this way. "He was moved with compassion, because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd," right? "And when the day was far spent, the disciples said, send them away. And he said, we can't send them away. They haven't eaten." And so he feeds them. So here's another very, very busy day. Now we saw earlier Jesus' habit to rise up early before dawn and go and pray. Now we spend this day, they've come off a trip, they're exhausted, there's still a lot of demands, they minister to the people, they feed them, all of this happens. And then down where we read in verse 45, Jesus sends the disciples away in a ship. And probably again to kind of give them a break. The Lord knows us. He knows our frame. He knows they were tired. He said, you guys needed some rest. Go ahead and just get in the boat. I'll finish up and get the people going. And so they take off. And after the Lord dismissed the people, what does he do? Once again, he goes alone and prays. So here he is after a long day. As I said early in the morning, one of the enemies of our time of prayer is the pressure, the demands of the day, the time. At the end of the day, the enemy of your prayer is simple exhaustion. There's so much demands on our day, we don't have time to pray. And then the ensuing exhaustion because of those demands, we're too tired to pray. But in both cases, the Lord did not let that deter him from a time of prayer. It's an interesting example, because we can relate. We can see. And he certainly, we relate in the sense that we know there's demands and stuff. Not anywhere to the level of demands that he had upon him. To feed thousands, to care for thousands. And his disciples as well. And so they were exhausted. Weariness and work can be an enemy to our prayer time. But Jesus was not too busy nor too tired. And why is that? Because prayer is a priority. If we recognize that we cannot, whatever demands there are, we can't take on the day until we have prayed. And at the end of the day, we still need to take matters before God and pray. And so busyness, weariness cannot deter us from prayer. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. In Luke 5:15 it says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, here again we see a very similar scene to what we've already witnessed, and that is that there was a great crowd, and there was a lot going on, and there was many demands, but the Lord, in verse 16, once again, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He slipped away. Let me give you just a thought, but before I do that, what do you slip away to do? You know, sometimes we think about, boy, if I could just get a few minutes, I'm going to slip away and do this. You know, usually it's something like, for me this time of year, it's going skiing. You know, can I find a day in the week where maybe I can slip off and go ski? Now, tomorrow I have an excuse. I'm taking some schoolers skiing, so that's always a good excuse. But, you know, what do we slip away to do? Maybe play golf. Maybe, you know, watch a show. Maybe, I don't know. There's many things that we carve out a little bit of time to do. But the Lord carved out time of a busy, busy schedule to pray. Now, we've looked at that, but there's another thing here that I see too. We read there, was it verse, I forget, the last verse we read. It says there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting there, right? And it's a little bit in that verse, I thought it was somewhat confusing when I first read it in the sense that it almost sounds like they were the ones being healed, but I don't think that's the case. Later on, you read on in the chapter and you'll see that this is where they bring that guy, you know, they had to carry him and on his bed and they brought him to Jesus. And they, you know, it's a story where they let him down through the roof. But they bring this man. And he says, you know, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees all said, oh, what is he saying? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Who does he think he is? You can't forgive sins unless you're God. Well, Jesus said, what's easier, saying your sins are forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? And just to satisfy you, rise up and walk. And he did. But these were there. They weren't there on a friendly basis. Now, here's another point of prayer. One of the reasons why the Lord needs to pray, and one of the reasons why we need to pray, is because there's enemies. There's detractors. There are, you know, it's not only that he needed the strength, the grace to minister to the needs of the people. That's very necessary. All of you, you don't have to be a pastor. You have people that you can minister to, people that they're in your kind of realm where you can reach out to them, you can be a blessing to them, in your own families. And you need God's grace, just God's wisdom for the day, for taking on any task that you need, you know, you do, you need God's help in that. We know that. Everyone of us would admit that, wouldn't you? If I said, do you want to do that on your own, or do you want God's help? You say, well, I'd take God's help for that. But when it comes to even the battle, we're so insensitive, I think, to the battle, the spiritual battle that's going on around us. And we need to pray for that reason as well. Just to give you a little bit of a sense, my wife, being a reporter, she finds out these kind of things. But do you want to know what the number one book that was checked out from the Castlegar Library in 2019 was? Nonfiction. The book that was checked out the most from the Castlegar Library in 2019 was this book, Traditional Wicca, A Seeker's Guide. Yeah. Number two was this. This is the way the world ends. How droughts, die-offs, heat waves, and hurricanes are converging on America. The third most checked out nonfiction book is called The Equation of Life, How Physics Shapes Evolution. Now, what does that tell you about our our land. The number one book was on Wicca, witchcraft. And then how the world's going to end through heat waves and so on, and how evolution. You see, the world is in such spiritual darkness. They worry about the end of the world, but they think it all came about by evolution. And so they're looking to all kinds of things for answers. And I'm just giving you that to say to you, this city needs a lot of prayer. Is that not true? Our country needs a lot of prayer. And we could cite case after case and thing after thing to show that Canada and Castlegar and all of our this land that we love has been given over to a reprobate and depraved situation. And what I fear is that so much that is getting worse and worse and worse, and Christianity is praying less and less and less and less. I do worry about that. And these kind of things are not just, you know, it's not just the attack on our country. It's not just the attack of Satan on our neighbors and our coworkers, but it's in your very homes and in the families of this church. Are you with me? There's many things happening, needs and physical needs and emotional needs, spiritual needs, and we have an enemy. And don't forget it. We need to pray. Let me take you to a couple more scriptures. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. The disciples have been following the Lord around for a while, and they keep finding him in a place of prayer. And I think it finally kind of hits them. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. We've watched you pray, but now we know we need to pray. And I hope in this message this morning, very simple message, but think about this. We've watched the Lord pray, put prayer in the priority, taking the time, regardless of the pressures, the demands, the tiredness, of all that, to pray. And I hope in our heart right now, we're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we need to pray. Last of all, turn to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, at verse number 8, there's a question that's asked. That's an interesting question. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now you note we're jumping in again in the middle of something here. But he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? ? The Lord asks this question. He says, when the Son of Man comes again, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? And when the Lord asks the question, that means, you know, it implies that it's questionable. You know, there's some questions we ask because we just want to be assured, but it's really not much of a question as far, you know, like if you said to me, do you think it's going to snow again in February? Yeah, without question, it will. But when Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? And he left that question, and it's still a question today. It's questionable I mean, I'm just saying, there's a little doubt in our minds. There's a question mark in your mind about that. But now, let me show you the context. Remember the front part of that verse. What was that about? That, yes, he will avenge them speedily. Look all the way up at verse 1 of chapter 18. Because this is a conversation that began in verse number 1. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And when you go home today, you can read the in-between verses, verse 2 through 7. And he's telling them a parable, and he's teaching them about prayer. Okay, I won't have time. You go home and read. I won't go into it all. But he gets to the end of that, and this is the concluding statement. I mean, it's all this that's connected to that teaching on prayer. When he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Isn't that interesting that that's, he could have said at the end, it seemed like it'd be more logical to me if he would have said, when I return, will I find anybody praying? But really, it's the same thing. Because where there's no faith, there's no prayer. And where there's no prayer, there's no faith. Prayer is a matter of faith. You see, when the Lord comes back, and I don't know if I would draw this conclusion totally, but seems plausible to me. Do you suppose that in the end days before the Lord returns, that there will be a great prayerlessness in the world? Wouldn't surprise me. I think there's a prayerlessness in our world today. And I think it's going to be a sign of the times, if you will, of the end. Is that so many people have given up praying. But what I want to encourage you with this morning is let's not join them. Let's not be one of those. Because when the Lord returns, when he comes, and I know there's going to be a rapture, I know there's all the prophetic things, but when the Lord comes for you and me, wouldn't you be much happier if you were found praying as opposed to not have prayed for days, weeks, months? If I had the time, I'm not going to take the time this morning, but I would kind of help you a little bit to see that when it comes to prayer and faith, there's a couple things. Let me give you this verse, Hebrews 11:6. You probably know it well. It says this. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, notice, think with me just for a second about that verse. To come to God, you have to believe that he is. You wouldn't pray if you didn't believe in God, right? And then we believe not only in God, we believe that God hears prayer. We believe God answers prayer. The Bible promises us that. He says, they that come to God must believe that he is. And then it says, and believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not only do I believe in God, but I believe God hears prayer. And I believe God blesses and answers prayer. Do you believe that? I believe there's things that we will never have. Blessings God is so ready to give, but we'll never receive them without praying for him. You think about that. Because God has some things, he says, you know, when the disciples, one time they brought a guy to him to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And the disciples said, why? Why were we not able to? And remember how the Lord said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And again, I'd like to take you through that whole thing, but essentially, he says to them, first of all, he says, because of unbelief. Now ask yourself a question. He says, because of unbelief, and then in the next verse, he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. So the disciples, I'll try to get you through this quickly. The disciples had gone out, they had cast out demons, they came back, and they even rejoiced in this. They said, the demons are subject unto us. Remember that story? And Jesus said, rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your name is in the book of life. I mean, they were amazed. They were so pumped about the fact that they could cast out demons. So when this man brought this demon-possessed son to him, I don't think it was that they didn't believe this could ever happen. Are you with me? I don't think it was when he said, because of unbelief, I don't think it was because the disciples said, well, that's too much. We don't know how to do that. No, they had done it before. They'd seen it happen. They knew it was possible. So what did he say when he said, "You, it's because of your unbelief"? Was it that they didn't have enough faith? If we just work up enough faith? He said, if you had a faith like a grain of mustard seed, just a small, tiny faith. It wasn't about them working up enough faith. What was it? He said, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Let me try to sum it up for you. You can go home and think on this for a while. I don't think it was they didn't believe it could happen. I don't think it was they didn't have enough faith. I think their faith was misplaced. Their faith was in, hey, we've done this before. I think this is what happened. I think the guy said, I have a demon-possessed kid. They said, oh, bring him over. We know how to do that. We've done this before. And they just thought, you know, we can do this again. And it didn't work. That's why when Jesus came back, they said, why were we not able? He said, basically, their faith was in their own confidence, was in themselves. They didn't pray and fast because they just had confidence in theirself. Now I'll close with this thought. Why we don't pray so many times is we think we can take on the world. We think we can handle life. We don't have time to pray. We don't need to pray because we're confident that we can do it ourselves. And we need to understand without God, we can do nothing. And prayer is so important. Let's stand together. Sometimes the lack of faith is simply misplaced faith. When Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? I think what he's saying is, will I find people who recognize not faith in themselves, but they're praying and they're on their face before God because they need God. That's what faith is. Faith is drives us to our knees. Because we believe God. We believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we're going to diligently seek Him. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, let's go to the Lord.